Saturday afternoon and time for the favorite sports stories of Grantland Rice. Yes, every Saturday afternoon is yarn spinning time down at the Sportsman's Club, where the sports fans gather to rehash the great sporting events of the past and to make profound observations on the outcome of sporting events of the future. Their host these winter Saturdays is the Dean of American Sports Writers, Grantland Rice. And when the more weighty matters have been settled for the day, Granny Rice has a story for his friends, one of his favorites collected during 30 years of sports writing. You're invited to these Saturday afternoon sessions. So now, in fancy, join us in the trophy room of the Sportsman's Club for another of the favorite stories of Grantland Rice.
Hey, Granny, here's one for you. How much of a factor do you think luck plays in sports, huh?
Yes, what do you say, Granny? Now, we've been talking about lucky prize fighters and lucky ball players. Is there such a thing as a team or a player getting by on luck?
Well, fellas, there are two schools of thought on that subject. One opinion is that there's no such thing as luck in sports. The breaks go to the team that deserves them.
Now, what do you think, Granny?
Well, suppose we take the Cardinals' gas house gang of a few years back. They won a lot of ball games that looked awful lucky. But they did it so often that it had to be more than luck. Yes, I know they got the breaks, but perhaps they got them because they were always ready to take advantage of them.
Pepper Martin, for instance?
Yeah. Old Pepper, what a ball player he was. And through the years, Notre Dame has won a flock of games by one touchdown or even just one point. But they did it too often to call it just luck. And Walter Hagen used to slice into the rough and then hit the green with one of his amazing recoveries. Now, that was more than luck.
Well, Granny, then you say that there isn't any such thing as pure luck in sports. Is that right?
No, I said that there were two schools of thought. And Ring Lardner set down the case for the other school in his baseball story that he called Horseshoe.
Oh, let's hear it, Granny. Let's hear it.
Well, the World Series between the Athletics and the Giants is just over as our story begins. On a train bound for Chicago, Kennedy, the sports writer, is having a sandwich in the buffet car when a big, raw-boned youngster approaches his table and...
Anybody sitting here, mister?
Huh? No. Sit right down.
Mister, whose picture they got there on the sport page?
Why, it's Speed Parker of the Giants.
Oh, yeah? Well, what do they say about him?
Well, they say that... I'll read it to you.
Okay.
Speed Parker, McGraw's great third baseman, is ill in a local hospital with nervous prostration, the result of strain in the World Series in which he played such a stellar role. Philadelphia fans are hoping for Parker's speedy recovery, for he won their admiration with his great work in the series, although he was on a rival team. A lucky catch by Dick Grimes, the Athletic substitute outfielder, was all that prevented Parker from winning the series for New York.
Oh, well, that'll be plenty of that, mister. Just the kind of tripe you could expect from them dough-headed baseball writers. If all the baseball writers is where they belonged... Well, there wouldn't be enough jazz in the country to hold them.
Young man, I happen to be a baseball writer.
Oh, yeah? Well, no offense. I happen to be Dick Grimes of the Athletics.
Yes, I recognize you, Grimes.
Oh.
What's the matter with this story about Parker? Doesn't he raid all the bouquets?
Oh, I can give him all the boost they want as far as I am concerned. But when they call that catch of mine lucky and don't mention the fact that Speed Parker is the luckiest guy in the world, well, something must be wrong with him.
Parker's lucky. Seems to have had a bad break today.
Now, listen, just like Connie Mack says, we would have taken four straight from the Giants except for Parker. But it wasn't because he's a great ball player. That guy was born with a knife, fork, and spoon in his mouth and a rabbit's foot hung around his neck.
Well, Grimes, you seem to have luck on your side out there today.
Oh, well, sure, I made the lucky catch that robbed Parker of a homer, but then I come in and hit a lucky homer myself. Maybe it was luck, but... It was time things started breaking for me. They've been breaking for Parker all his life.
He's in the hospital now with nervous prostration. Nothing lucky about that.
Nervous prostration, my eye. Parker ain't got no nervous prostration, mister. He's in a hospital because his face is all out of shape.
Yeah?
Yeah. I made two hits this afternoon. One was that lucky homer that won the series for the A's... And the other was the one I busted up Speed Parker's map with.
Well, when did this happen?
Outside the clubhouse after the game.
Why did you hit him, Grimes?
Because he called me a name. A name I won't stand for from him.
What did he call you?
He called me Horseshoes.
Horseshoes?
Yeah, Horseshoes. And I ain't taking that from him.
But that's nothing to get so sore about. Horseshoes.
You don't know the whole story, mister. Leave me tell you the whole story about me and Speed Parker. Then you'll see why I got sore.
Well, go ahead. I'd like to hear it.
Me and Speed Parker was raised together back in Ishpeming, Michigan. He done all the devilment and I got all the lickings. When we was 12 years old, Speed threw a rotten egg at the teacher and I got expelled for it. Well, he kept on in school, but I went to work. When the town got up a semi-pro club, we both got jobs with it. Well, they paid us $2 a game, but we played 4 games before they settled up. I put the $8 in my pocket, forgetting there was a hole in that pocket as big as home plate. I lost the dough. Speed didn't have no hole in his pocket. Anyways, another time, I was hanging around the pool room, playing a slot machine, when Speed comes in.
Hello there, Horseshoes.
Hello, Speed. Hey, what do you mean, Horseshoes?
Oh, you're a lucky guy.
Yeah? How do you figure?
Oh, I just called up Mabel, asked her for a date. She turned me down. Says she's got a date with you this Saturday night.
Yeah?
Yeah, she's a swell-looking dame. You're a lucky guy.
Yeah. Well, I ain't so lucky on this here slot machine. I poured $3 worth of nickels into it.
Yeah? Hey, I got an odd nickel here. Mind if I slip it in? Maybe it'll warm it up for you.
Go ahead.
Oh, what do you know? A jackpot. Well, I got a blow. I'll be seeing you. Hey, you and Mabel have a good time Saturday. You old Horseshoes, you.
Huh? Horseshoes? Well, anyways, Speed and me, we busted into pro ball together. That was 2 years ago last spring. I had a good year. I hit better than 300, and I stole all the bases in sight. And Speed done good, too. And the Chicago Cubs bought Speed outright, and 4 clubs put in a draft for me. 3 of their clubs needed outfielders bad. That was Cleveland, the Giants, and the Boston Braves. I could have made good with any one of them, but the Cubs get me. And they only got Schulte, Leach, Good, and a couple of other outfielders already. But I didn't figure I was any worse off than Speed, because the Cubs had Zimmerman at third base. But what do you think happens? Zimmerman breaks his leg and they put Speed in regular at third base while I wear out my uniform sliding up and down on the bench and wondering when they'll ship me to Fort Worth or Siberia. Well, one day we was playing down at St. Louis. They had a 1-run lead in the 8th when the pitcher watched Speed with 1 out. And then Sayer hits a fly ball to the outfield and Speed starts running like there was 2 out. He was clear on to third when the ball come down, and doggone it, the fielder don't drop the ball. Of course, Speed scored easy, and when he comes into the bench, you'd think he had done something wonderful.
Hey, Parker.
Yeah, Hank.
What's the idea of running on that ball? Did you think there was 2 out?
Nah, I knew there was just 1 out.
Then why'd you run?
I had a hunch that guy dropped the ball.
I give up.
Well, then we go home to Chi, and we're having a hot battle with Pittsburgh. Speed comes up with 2 on and 2 out, and Pittsburgh leading us by 1 run. He hits one straight up in the air. It's an easy catch, but Maury and Gibson both go after the ball. They have a collision, and they both fall down. 2 runs scored, and Speed lands on second. And what does he do but try to steal third? And with 2 out, mind you. He's out by a mile. Except that Gibson throws the ball in the left field, and Speed comes in standing up.
Hey, Parker.
Yeah, Hank.
If I was you, I'd quit playing ball and go to Monte Carlo.
Yeah, why?
Because you're the luckiest ball player in the world.
Oh, yeah? Then so's Ty Cobb.
All right.
Well, then we go on to Cincinnati, and we run into a couple of boys there from Ishpeming, and they take us for a party. Well, when I see it's getting to be near midnight, I say to Speed,
"Hey, we ought to be getting back to the hotel, Speed."
Yeah, what's the hurry?
Yeah, Dick, don't bust up the party.
Oh, gee, I'm sorry, fellas, but there's a club rule. We got to be in by midnight.
Ah, don't be a sissy.
Well, you know what you want, Speed. I'm gone. So long, fellas.
So long, Dick.
So long, Horseshoes.
Well, I make it back to the hotel just in time to run smack into Hank, our manager, in the lobby.
Well, well, well. Mr. Grimes. Had a pleasant evening?
Huh? Oh, yeah, Hank. A couple of fellas from my hometown blew in and we was...
Oh, is that so? How very nice. You see what time it is?
It's 20 after 12.
Oh, gee, I didn't notice it was that late, Hank.
Well, next time maybe you'll notice. That'll be 50 buck fine, Grimes, just to help you remember, kid.
Well, I'm sound asleep next morning when Speed blows in. We were rooming together at the time.
Is that you, Speed?
Yeah, it's me.
Hey, what time is it?
9:30.
Hey, ain't you been to bed all night?
Nah, we went to a lot of places. We just had breakfast.
You're crazy staying up all night, and we got a doubleheader to play today. Anybody see you come in?
No.
I got a $50 fine.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. But you ain't gonna have no picnic trying to play a doubleheader with no sleep. Hey, what's that? Thunder?
Yep, thunder.
It's raining out?
Raining cats and dogs. We won't have no doubleheader today. Oh, man, I'm tired. Hey, wake me about 5, will you, Horseshoes?
Horseshoes? You got a lot of gall calling me Horseshoes. Well, Speed Parker kept on that way all season. If he started to steal, the catcher would drop the ball or somebody would muff it. If he cut first base by 20 feet, the umps would be reading the morning paper. Everything went perfect for him. Well, as for me, I only got in one game when Leach was sick. I got one foul during the afternoon's entertainment, and the wind was blowing a 100-mile gale so that the best outfielder in the world couldn't judge a fly ball. It must have hit 50 of them at me, and if I caught any, I don't remember it. Well, after the game, Hanky comes up to me and he says...
Grimes.
Yeah?
I hate to tell you this, kid, especially since the club's got a pretty good chance of getting into the World Series.
Yeah, I get it. You're handing me my release, huh?
Yeah. I'm sending you to Indianapolis.
Indianapolis?
Yeah, but don't get discouraged, kid. You'll come back. You know, you'd be down there where you're playing every day, and that's what you need.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, I don't suppose you're releasing anybody else, like Speed Parker, for instance?
No, I ain't, Grimes. I know this guy Parker's the luckiest ball player I ever see, but he delivers the goods and he wins ball games.
Yeah, well, okay, Hank, I'll go to Indianapolis. At least there won't be no Speed Parker around to drive me nuts.
Atta boy, Grimes. Now you go on down there and give him all you got. All you got. Well, so long, kid. Lots of luck. Lots of luck to you.
Yeah, yeah. Lots of luck. That's a hot one.
Oh, Dick. Hey, Dick, I just hear the news about you leaving us.
Oh, yeah?
Sorry to see you go, kid, but a little season will do you good. I'll put it there, kid.
You got a lot of nerve talking about me meeting season and Speed.
Well, what's the matter, Dick boy?
Well, listen, Speed, if you weren't so doggone lucky, you'd be sweeping streets.
I'm sorry you feel that way, Dick.
Well, I'll be back up, and just don't you forget it, either.
Well, I'll be looking for you, kid. So long. So long, Horseshoes.
Sure, Speed sticks with the Cubs. They win the pennant, he gets in on the big dough. Besides playing a whale of a game in the series. Well, when we get back home to Ishpeming, he was the big guy with plenty of dough in his kick. All I had was my suitcase and a hard luck story, but I kept that to myself. I hadn't even went good with Indianapolis. Anyways, we wasn't home for long until an uncle of Speed's, an old guy he'd seen maybe a couple of times, up and dives and leaves Speed $10,000. I got an uncle worth 5 times that much, and we are very close, and he is enjoying wonderful health. Yeah, Speed was the big guy with the fellas who hung around the pool hall there.
Ah, nice shot there, Speed. Doggone, you're as good with a pool cue as you are with a baseball bat.
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, beauty, Speed, old boy. You want to play another game?
Oh, I don't know. Why not? Well, well, well. If it ain't my old pal, Horseshoe Grimes.
Hello, Speed.
Oh, hello,
hello there, fellas.
Hey,
hiya.
Glad to see you, Dick boy. Hey, how'd things go down there in Indianapolis?
Okay, okay.
Must be some good pitching in that league, huh, Dick? I seen the batting averages and... Well,
yeah, I know. I wind up hitting .204. So what?
Well, nothing, Dick boy.
Say, Dick, you figuring on staying in baseball?
Figure on staying?
Hey, what do you mean
by that, Cracker?
Nothing. Only I thought maybe you...
Now, listen, fellas. Don't get Dick Grimes wrong. Maybe he didn't have a good season.
But you just watch him. I predict he'll be playing regular for Indianapolis next year. With a little luck, you
with
know.
With a little luck? Listen, Speed, if I had 1/10 for the Cubs regular right now...
Sure, Dick, sure. Hey, you want to take a cue, Dick boy?
No, I don't. I'll try the slot machine.
Crack him up, will you, Jack?
Okay, Speed.
What'd you get there, Dick?
A lemon and 2 plums.
Hey, you got 2 nickels for a dime?
Yeah. Yeah, hey, here you are.
Your shot here, Speed.
Just a minute, Jack, while I play this nickel.
Okay.
Uh-oh. What do you know? The jackpot.
Oh.
Hey, you going, Dick?
Yeah. I gotta be gone.
Well, so long. Horseshoes.
I remember this girl I spoke about a while back. She was the prettiest thing I'd ever seen. Her and I went to dance every Saturday night and to church on Sunday nights. I called on her Wednesday night, and besides taking her to all the shows that come along, punk as most of them was. I never noticed Pete Parker was making a play for this doll until, long about February. But the minute I seen it, I got busy. I took her out sleigh riding and kept her out in the cold until she promised to marry me. We set the wedding for sometime in the fall.
Hey, Dick, wait a minute.
Huh? Oh, yeah. Hello there, Speed.
I just got word. Just heard, Dick boy, about you and Mabel.
Yeah, well, I guess there ain't no secret about it.
Oh, congratulations, kid. She's a mighty swell girl. Pretty as a picture.
Well, thanks.
I wouldn't mind being in your shoes, old man.
No, it seems like I heard.
Yeah, you lucky stiff. Well, so long, horseshoes.
I was too busy with the girlfriend to see much of Speed after that. He went to Tampa for spring training with the Cubs, and then I got notice that Indianapolis had traded me to Baltimore. But it was all right with me. And along about April, one of the boys come up to me in the clubhouse with some very interesting news.
Hey, Grimes, ain't this Speed Parker from your hometown?
Yeah. Hey, what's he done now? Struck oil or something?
No. It's here in the paper. The Cubs trade him to Boston.
To Boston?
Yeah.
Ah, that's a good one. Maybe that guy's rabbit's foot wore out on him.
Yeah. He ain't getting none of that World Series dough from them Bostons either, is he?
No. Maybe his luck is running out at last.
Yeah, well, maybe, but... Well, I thought I'd like you... You'd like to know, you know.
Yeah. Speed went to Boston where there wasn't no chance of making nothing but your salary. But what do you think happened? Schaefer of the Giants quit baseball and McGraw was up against it for a third baseman. Next thing you know, Speed was traded to the Giants and there he was all set with another winner. But that didn't bother me. I was getting along all right with Baltimore and Donnie the manager liked me, so I figured I had better than a 1-year job. So I went along all okay until August. That was just 2 months ago when Dunny comes to me and hands me the news.
Say, Grimes, the Athletics need an extra outfielder.
Yeah?
Yeah. They made me a pretty good proposition for you, and I'm going to let you go.
Oh, now wait.
Oh, it's quite a break for you, kid. The A's have got the pennant practically cinched, and they'll cut you in on the big money.
Well, sure, I know, and... When the season's over, they'll ship me down to the 3I League, and I'll be dragging down $75 a month. I was figuring on getting married this fall.
Oh, it's nothing like that, Grimes. I got an understanding with the A's.
Oh.
If they don't want you next season, they got to ask for waivers. And if you get out of the big leagues, you come right back here. How's that?
Well, gee, that's swell. Hey, thanks for fixing it that way.
That's a break for you, all right. Looks like luck is with you, Grimes.
Yeah. Well, so that's how I come to get with the A's. Connie Mack gave me a nice, comfortable seat on the bench, and I had the pleasure of at least watching a real ball club perform every day. Connie said he'd give me a chance to play after we clinched the pennant, which we'd done on September 4th. With my usual luck, I break in against Washington with this fella, Walter Johnson, pitching. They can't never tell me he throws them balls with his arm. He's got a gun concealed on him, and he shoots them up there with that. Well, I tried to meet the first one he throwed, but when I stuck out my bat, the catcher was throwing the ball back to Johnson. Then I thought maybe if I started swinging at the second one, I might hit the third one. I didn't see the second one, and on the third one, Johnson crossed me up with the slow ball. I lunged at it twice and missed both times. Well, that will give you an idea of how things was going for me. And meantime, Speed Parker is burning up the diamond for the Giants. Well, it comes time for the World Series, and we open against the Giants in Philadelphia, and Connie Mack makes a little speech there before the game.
All right, boys. Now, here's what I've got to say. The shorter the series is, the better for us. If it's a long one, we're going to have trouble because McGraw has five pitchers he can work, and we've only got three. So I want you boys to go at them from the start and play them off their feet.
Okay,
now, just a minute, just a minute. Don't take things easy. This isn't going to be any snap. We've licked them before, but that's no guarantee we're going to do it this time. Now, let's get out there and keep on your toes every minute.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Grimes.
Oh, yeah, yeah, Mr. Mack.
Now, you go out there and take your turn at bat.
Huh?
I may need you before the series is over.
Yes, sir. Well, you know what happened. We win three straight for the Giants, but that wasn't no fault of Speed Parker's. His luck was holding. With two strikes on him, he'd take a cut at a wild pitch and it would go for three bases. Once he put up his glove to protect himself against a line drive and the ball stuck right in his glove. Then he really gets going. We drop two in a row, mainly on fluke hits and fielding plays by Speed. And then in the sixth game, which we had won until the ninth, Joyce, our left fielder, was beaned, and that brought us into the seventh and deciding game of the series with me in the lineup. Well, naturally, I shoot a wire to the girlfriend in Ishpeming telling her I'm in the lineup for the final game. And while I'm at it, I ask her to pick a date in October for the wedding. Maybe I got this hunch from a story I see about Speed Parker going to be married right after the season. It didn't give the name of the girl, but I figured it was somebody he met around the circuit. Anyways, I figured if he was going to get hitched, I wasn't letting him get ahead of me in that department anyways. Like you know, the final game went on up to the 11th without no score on either side. I didn't have no fielding chances until the 7th, and then Merkel hit a fly ball to me. I staggered around under it, and it finally hit me on the shoulder. Well, the boys could have murdered me, but they laughed it off. They were a real nice bunch of guys. Well, you know all that, but what you don't know is what happened on the bench during our half of the 11th.
All right, boy. Make him give you a good one up
here. Take it easy.
Western Union, telegram for Mr. Dick Grimes.
Hey, that's me. Bring that wire over here, son.
Telegram, Grimes. You better not open it until after the game now.
No, it may be bad news, Grimes. Yeah. Stick it in your pocket until we win this.
No, I know it's in this wire, fellas. Don't you worry. This ain't no bad news. This happens to be from a little lady out in Michigan. Yes, sir. This is from a...
All right, boys. That's three gone. Now get out there and hold them one more time. Let's go. Now let's go.
I couldn't believe what I saw there in the wire. It said, "Forgive me, Dick, and forgive Speed, too. Let her follow."
Let's go, let's go. All right, Grimes. Get out there. Come
forgive
on.
Me and forgive Speed, too.
Say, what's the matter with you, Grimes? Come on, get moving.
Let her follow.
What are you mumbling about, Grimes? Will you get out to your position?
And forgive Speed, too. That dirty sneak has swiped my girl. Get out of my way, Mr. Mack. Get out of my way before I do something I'll be sorry for. Well, I was so mad I couldn't see. I ran out to left field and stepped on my own foot and spiked it. I just had to hurt somebody. And from that on, everything is kind of vague. I remember the chief fanned the first two men, and then Doyle triples against the wall, and the next thing I see is Speed Parker coming up to the plate. So I run all the way into the pitcher's box. Kill him, chief, kill him. Hit him in the head, kill him. I'll go to jail for it. Just kill the guy. That's all.
Get back out there in left, Grimes. Are you gone nuts?
Yeah, that's what I'd done. Well, they gave me a shove toward left, and then I heard the crack of a bat. And Speed had connected with one right on the nose, and it looked like it was going out of the park. I got it. Leave me have it. Get away, Strunk.
Grimes.
Yes, sir.
Watch that wall, Grimes. Watch that wall, you crazy fool.
Well, I don't remember anything else after I smacked my head against the concrete wall and left and Rob Speed Parker of a home run. They tell me he was the greatest catch ever seen. Anyways, I come in like, you know, an hour and a half of the 12, yapping and snarling, they tell me. And I go up to that there plate and take a swipe at the first ball. All I want to do is get to third and dig my spikes into Speed Parker. But what happens? It seems like I pull a Speed Parker. I hit a ball to right, it smacks a rock or a pop bottle or something, and it jumps up into the stands for a home run. It wins the ball game and the World Series for the A's, and the boys go crazy in the clubhouse.
Oh, here he is, boys. Come on, let's
get him out. He's a jolly good fellow. He's a jolly good fellow.
But I got to get out of there. So, out of the clubhouse by myself. The crowd is gone by now, and I'm walking under the stands when who do I see coming toward me but Speed Parker. He spots me and he breaks into a big smile.
Why, hello. Hello.
Yeah.
Hello there, horseshoes.
Why, you... Ooh. Oh, ah. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Well, mister, if any girl wants Speed Parker, after I got through with him, she can have him. With his nose over, shaking hands with his ear, and his jaw fouled by a couple of feet.
So that's why he's in the hospital.
Sure, mister. He ain't got nervous prostration like you baseball writers put in the paper. Just goes to show you how much you guys know about what really goes on.
Well, anyway, they'll have to postpone the wedding, I guess.
Postpone the wedding? Listen, mister, I did a little telegraphing to Ishpeming, Michigan. And the wedding is taking place on schedule day after tomorrow. And I'll be batting for Mr. Speed Parker.
Well, congratulations, Grimes. And what about next year?
It's all set. I'm coming back to the athletics, and I'm going to hire somebody to call me Horseshoes before every game. I sure can play that old baseball when I'm mad.
Well, fellas, that's Ring Lardner's story, Horseshoes. And, fellas, you can decide now for yourselves just how much of a factor luck is in sports.
Well, I guess it all evens out after
yeah.
all.
See you next week, yeah. Granny.
Oh, sure. I'll be around, this time with a story of pro football by Stanley Frank, one of my fellow sports writers. I know you're going to like this one, too. Well, see you then. Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye, Granny.
Goodbye, Granny. See you later.
Yes, join us again next Saturday at the Sportsman's Club for another sports story selected by the Dean of American Sports Writers, Grant and Rice. In today's story, which was adapted for radio by Gerald Holland, our actors were Don Hurst, Rod Hendrickson, Alan Drake, Bill Burbridge, and Stanford Lewis. James Backus played Dick Grimes, and Grant and Rice appeared in person. George Crook was at the organ, and the production was under the direction of Tony Leader. This is the National Broadcasting Company.